Good morning. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord through song, singing out a great song to start our year off. To God be the glory, great things He has done. Let's sing this out.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the light if that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of love, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus of
for worship today at First Baptist Church of Wixom. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
Men and teen boys are encouraged to gather for prayer on Saturday, January 7th. We will meet at the Backyard Coney Island in Wixom at 8 a.m. and back here in the Link for prayer around 8:45.
There will be no community groups this week. Community groups will continue next Sunday. If you are not yet connected with a community group, please visit our website at fbcwixom.org/community groups for more information. Community groups meet most Sunday nights at 5 p.m. Also, we want to encourage all FBC Wixom attenders to sign up for one-on-one discipleship. Books and information are available in the link.
In just a few minutes, we'll be dismissing children 4 years to the third grade out the back of the auditorium to our junior church ministry. While there, they will enjoy a great time as they sing songs, play games, and hear a message from God's Word prepared just for them. Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we would love to connect with you. If you would like more info about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out a connections card online at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to you today. I want to mention just a couple of reminders as we get started this morning. First of all, Sunday school classes are going great. If you're missing the 9:45 Sunday school hour, there's a lot of really great things happening at that time. This morning, we started Discipleship 101, which is a three-week course. Meets in room 403, and even if you didn't make it this morning, you're invited to join us for the next two lessons, meeting in room 403. Starting Points, which is our class for everybody who's new to First Baptist Church, no matter what level of engagement they are involved in here at church. Starting Points is for you. That's at 9:45 on Sunday mornings as well. That begins on the 22nd of January, and so we hope that you'll plan to join us if you're new to our church. The two modular classes, Handling Money Wisely and The Greatness of Motherhood, go through the 29th, so each Sunday of January. And then starting on the 5th, that will be a brand new class, Tools and Methods of Bible Memory and Bible Study, that Steve Zachert will be teaching. That starts on February the 5th. And so we hope you guys will be involved in those classes and think about how you might interact with that information. I think it will be helpful and encouraging to you. You heard Angela say on the announcements that community groups are not meeting tonight. They resume next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. So from now through at least till March, we're going to start community group at 5 o'clock and give us a little bit more daylight on the commute, at least two group. And then we'll see how that's going. If we like it, we might stay there. If we want to go back to 6, that would happen in March. There is a brand new community group, so we don't often get to announce a brand new start, but there's a brand new community group that is going to be in Livonia, and that starts next week. And so if you have questions about that, there's a sign-up sheet in the back, but you can see Holden Mortar. Wait, wave your hand, Holden. You can see Holden, or you can see Johnny. Johnny's in the back over there. You can talk to one of those guys, and they can help you with that. If you are sort of southeast of here, that may be an ideal location for you. We have several families that come from that area, and we want to make a Sunday evening community group easy for you. So thank you to everybody who's making that new group happen. This morning we're celebrating communion together as a church family as we kick off the new year. And we're going to be doing that early in the service today. So deacons, during this next song, if you would come up and prepare to serve during this next song, I would appreciate that. Let's pray together as we begin. Father, we're so grateful for a new year to serve you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather again this morning with our friends and family and lift up Jesus and think about the greatness of our Savior. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to, as you commanded us to do, to remember you this morning as we celebrate your table, the sacrifice that you gave, your broken body and your spilt blood for the redemption of humanity. Lord, we want to remember that. We want to worship you for that today. And so as we sing, as we celebrate communion, as we enjoy the preaching of your word, as we fellowship together, we ask that Jesus would be magnified in us as individuals and in this body as well. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you and enjoying forgiveness and adoption in your family. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.
So thankful that the hope that we can hold on to now as believers is through someone who can fulfill that, who's always going to be faithful in that. My hope is in the Lord. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord. Sing this out together.
Amen. Thank you for the hope. Thank God for the hope that is in our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I know sometimes it's a little bit challenging if you're a guest in a church and they're celebrating the Lord's Supper and you're wondering, how do they do it here? Or if you have your children with you, and we don't always have our kids with us when we celebrate communion. And so I just want to take a minute and explain kind of what we are doing when we do this. The Apostle Paul gives very clear instructions in 1 Corinthians 11 that Jesus, on that last Passover night, was intentional to teach his disciples that the meaning, the symbolism of Passover was changing. And it was changing to directly reflect what he was going to do. He was going to allow for his body to be broken for the sins of mankind. And he's going to allow for his blood to be spilt for the sins of mankind. And that we were to remember that regularly. Some churches do so weekly or monthly or yearly. We usually do so every other month or so. But this morning we want to start with it because this is the first day of the year. I think it's interesting that as we're looking forward to 2023, what Paul says we're to do is to remember Jesus, to remember him until he returns. I think this might be the year that Jesus comes back and takes his own to be with him. And so it's right for us to start the year by remembering him. We celebrate what we call close communion, meaning we follow what we think is the biblical model. And that is, if you are a believer, you are welcome to participate with us. So parents, help your kids with this today. Guests, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, you're saved, forgiven from your sin, on your way to heaven. We want you to participate with us this morning as a testimony of your faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 also tells us that we're to examine ourselves. So not only to be a true believer, but to be right with God and with others as best I know how and as best I can do right now. Maybe there's somebody I need to go reconcile with. I can't do that right now, but I can certainly talk to God about it and make sure I'm right with God and as right as I can be with other believers this morning to examine ourselves, make sure we're not harboring any sin before participating in what Jesus has commanded us to do to remember him. So you remember this passage of scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul says, I've received something from Jesus and I just want to pass it on to you, believers, so that you understand this, so that you're clear on this, that Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In just a minute, we're going to pass around broken bread that symbolizes the body of Jesus Christ. Of course, it's not the body of Christ, but it symbolizes it. Just like on that first Passover night, that bread that he broke symbolized what he was going to do. We do so in remembrance of him. And then it says this, that in the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So as we begin this morning, our year of worship. I don't know if you noticed on the doors when you walked in, there's a graphic there that says lift up on the glass doors out here. It's the same graphic that's on the circle on the back wall, lift up. What we want to do this year is intentionally lift up our Savior, to lift up our Creator God for one another and say, isn't he awesome? Let's worship him. And so that's what we want to do this morning. We just want to take a few minutes and lift up Jesus and remember the sacrifice that he made for our sin. So men that are serving, would you please stand? And I'm going to ask Brother Rod, would you please pray and thank the Lord for his broken body?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you this morning. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave the ultimate sacrifice and fell on the cross for us. And we thank you for this opportunity to partake of the bread, the sacrifice of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
eat. This represents my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Men, would you please stand again? And Brother Mark, would you please thank the Lord for his spilt blood? Jesus then said, "This cup is the New Testament, my promise in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." I got to tell you, it is fun to see the body of Christ give testimony to their faith in him all together. What a great way for us to start the year. In the gospel story, it says that when Jesus had finished this, they sang a hymn. And so we're going to stand and sing a hymn and glorify our Savior Jesus some more through music before we hear the preaching of the word. In case I forget to mention, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we also take up a benevolent offering, an offering for our deacon fund. The men will be at the back doors to do that today after the service. The deacons have been able to help some hurting families in really remarkable ways over the last several months because of your gifts. Thank you for faithfully doing that. That doesn't get published, but they've helped some people in remarkable, tangible ways because of your faithfulness. So I encourage you to think about participating in that. Jeremy, let's worship. Would you come and sing tonight? Another song.
Stand together as we sing out and praise God today. Oh, great God.
Lowly heart, holy laws and reigns supreme.
As we continue this morning, Samuel's going to come and play a song on the piano. And as we prepare to hear this song, it's a song we're pretty familiar with. We've done as a congregational several times called Glorious and Mighty. But what you may not know about this song is that this song is pulled specifically from different passages in the Psalms, which I think is totally fitting with the fact that we're starting a new series in the book of Psalms this morning. So what I'd like to do as we prepare to hear this special is to actually go to the passage, verses 2 through 5 in Psalm 145. And I'm going to read this out loud. You guys can look at it on the screen. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Listen as Samuel plays.
Amen. Thank you, Sam. He is greatly to be praised. I invite you to take your Bibles this morning to Psalm 150, if you would, please. Psalm 150. I'm excited this morning to be bringing the opening message of a brand new series of messages. We're entitling Albums of Worship, and the pastoral staff has been working on putting together this series for several months. It has already been a great blessing to the four of us, and I think it will be a blessing to you. As I mentioned earlier, our desire this year is to focus your attention on the greatness of God, the greatness of our Savior. And just think about His character and His greatness, His worthiness to be praised. That's what that song that you just heard played on the piano, that's what that was all about. His greatness should be praised. You can see here that this series of messages is a study in the Psalms. Actually, this is a theology from the Psalms. And that might sound at first blush a little bit dry, like, uh-oh, this sounds like a seminary class. But what we're really talking about is who is God? Theology is a study, the study of God. And theology answers two primary questions. Number one, what is God like? And number two, what am I supposed to do about it? What is God like? And number two, what am I supposed to do in response? So I want to give a couple things about just some clarifications before we jump into the message for today. First of all, in a recent Sunday morning message, I talked to you a little bit about our philosophy regarding the Old Testament and how we use it and don't use it in preaching. And I want to be really clear about this. We believe that the entire Bible from cover to cover is inspired of God. It is the Word, the very Word of God. And it is all profitable, as Paul told Timothy, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. However, because God deals differently after the cross than He did before the cross, we believe that there is a proper and an improper way to use the Old Testament. You won't hear from one of our pastoral staff guys a sermon in the Old Testament where we basically tell you an Old Testament story and then make our own applications that aren't in the Bible. I don't do that, and I don't let the guys do that. We feel like that's an improper use of Scripture. We're not here to tell you what we think. We're here to tell you what God thinks, okay? And so we want to take passages of Scripture where God is giving us instruction about Himself or about the church or about one another, and we want to take it right out of Scripture and apply it to life. You might not realize it, but that's an easy thing for preachers to abuse. Now, having said that, we said we use the Old Testament mostly for example. That's how Paul described the Old Testament. He said these things happened for our examples. And so we look back at examples of how God interacted with the children of Israel, for instance, or how God worked through Jonah, for instance, or through David or whatever, through Old Testament Bible characters. However, there are two particular timeless doctrines in the Old Testament that I believe are directly applicable to the 21st century church, okay? And that's why we're actually going to Psalms. And these two are creation and related doctrines, because we're all still creations of God, wouldn't you agree? And we still live in the creation of God. And so creation and related doctrines to creation are still for the church today. I'll give you an example. At creation, the Bible says God created them what? Male and female. And we just unashamedly as a church say that's still true in the 21st century. God creates people male and female. That's a creation principle that is still true today. And there are several. But secondly is the character of God. So you have creation and you have the character of God. It is permanent. God is unchanging. And even though we are not Israel, and He interacts differently after the cross than He did before the cross with humanity, we serve the same God of the Jews, the same God. So the Psalms, which is a worship album for the Jews, is an appropriate worship album for us. The Psalms are all about God. And so what we want to do is find God in the Psalms, lift Him up together, and say He is greatly to be praised. He is absolutely worthy of worship. It is totally good use of time, whether we're together for 10 minutes or an hour and a half talking about the greatness of God. And the book of Psalms is just loaded. It is so rich. I told Holden this morning, I said, as I started developing some further messages, I'm thinking we're going to have to just take little pieces of chapters because not all of them are as short as 150. And we're not going to be able to get through an entire chapter on one particular Sunday morning. The theme of all of the Psalms is what you see on the back wall, lift up God. Now, let me give you a quick biblical call to worship. Like, why do we think this is important? Well, I want to give you a verse of scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9. It says this, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." What God was saying to Jeremiah is this, that humanity has this tendency to get all excited about the wrong things, don't we? We get excited about the wrong things too, right? We get off track. It's just really easy for our focus, our priorities to get a little bit out of whack. And what God is saying through Jeremiah is this, listen, if you want to glory in something, you want to get excited about something, you want to have some energy about something, have some energy about this, that you know me. And you understand me. And so as 21st century believers, we should say, oh, well, I want to know God better. Theology is not a dry seminary topic. Theology is something that I want to live in and bathe my brain in and think on a day-to-day basis. This is crucially important. And by the way, in our world, this is something most people miss. So hold on with me for just a second. If you're thinking, I still don't buy it, I hope after this next passage of scripture you will, because what Romans chapter 1 says is that the reprobate mind sees God, but glorifies him not as God. The reprobate mind finds something else to glorify. The reprobate mind focuses on anything but theology. Romans chapter 1 verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." It's obvious. God created man in his image, and all of creation displays his glory. And yet, they don't glorify him. For the invisible things of him, God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, the creation, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's the same idea of praising. They didn't do either. They didn't glorify him and they didn't praise him. Why? Because when they looked at creation, they decided to worship it. Can you see that in our world around us? People that are worshiping animals that maybe are going to extinct, or they're worshiping the idea of saving their planet or whatever. And yes, we're to be stewards. And yes, we're to have dominion over the creation. But when we see something awesome in creation, we're to say, wow, what a great God. See the difference? Not what a great thing. Let's preserve it. Let's do all we can. Let's pour some money into it. No, what a great God we have. He created that. I mean, just think about it. Those of us that live here in Michigan, what a blessing to see the different seasons. It's just crazy. I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, it's just hard to imagine a day where it is sweltering hot, where you can't wait to get in the building because it's just impossible to catch your breath. It is so hot and so humid. In the middle of the winter, it's hard to imagine that. And yet we see it in creation. We see the heat. We see the rain. We see the beauty of the flowers in the spring. We see the beauty of the leaves in the fall. You guys that are out sitting in the woods watching animals, you see the beauty of creation like right up close. It's just amazing. And what it's to do is to focus our attention on how great God is. The psalmist, unlike the reprobate in Romans chapter 1, the psalmist also sees creation, but he doesn't say, let's worship creation. The psalmist says, let's worship God. And we're going to see that time and time and time again. So this morning, we're starting with the very last psalm because we want to start with this topic. God is worthy of praise. God is worthy of praise. Is it worth our time to focus on God. Yes. Can we say too many good things about God? No. His greatness is unsearchable. And what's great about the Psalms is we're going to see how great God is, and then we're also going to see how great Jesus displays the greatness of God. It's really amazing when you tie the New Testament together with the worship of God in the Psalms. Now, some of the Psalms are very difficult to outline. I've given all of those to Holden and Johnny. No, I'm just kidding. They're randomly selected, okay? So some of them are very difficult to outline, and we'll have to pick out some verses and try to understand the psalm a little more creatively. This psalm is super easy to outline. There are 4 points, and they jump right off the page to us, and they all kind of come around to this idea of praise. So I want to read it to you, and then I want to show you what praise is, and I think it will make a lot of sense. So here's Psalm 150. Follow along, please, as I read, starting in verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Will you say that with me? Praise ye the Lord. That's what we want to do this morning. Let's pray. Father, please help us to praise you appropriately. We realize we can't praise you enough. Lord, our minds are so distracted and sinful that for us to even scratch the surface of your greatness and focus on you for a half hour is asking a lot. But we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help us to do just that, to get a glimpse of your worthiness, that we would learn to praise you better today and throughout this year. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You can probably outline this already in your head. It's pretty easy to do this outline. We talk about where to praise God, how to praise God, what to praise God for, and who should praise God. It's pretty simple, but we have to understand what praise means. What does praise mean? Well, you see, this psalm begins with the phrase, praise ye the Lord, and it ends with the phrase, praise ye the Lord. This is the Hebrew word, hallelujah. If you're familiar with the word hallelujah, you might wonder where that comes from. Hallel is really the idea of extol, or make a big deal about, or cheer on. And then Jah is a shortened version of God. So literally what this psalm starts with and ends with is this, praise you God, or you, believer, praise God. That's what it starts with, and that's what it ends with. To praise means to extol enthusiastically the greatness of someone or something with words of excellence. And we're going to find this as we work through our passage this morning, what this actually is supposed to look like. But praise really means to cheer on greatness. That's literally what it means. It means to see something awesome and respond. Oh, wow. Or to clap for it, or to cheer for it, something awesome. And so this morning, as we look at God, this is what we want to do. We want to praise the Lord, extol him enthusiastically for his greatness. So number one, where should we praise God? Praise you, the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Let me suggest 2 places we're to praise God. Number one, we're to praise God in private places or sacred places. That word sanctuary actually refers to God's holiness, or this isn't very good English, but you know that holiness means to be set apart. So it means to praise God in his set apartedness. Praise God in his uniqueness, in those sacred places that are set apart for him. For the Jews, this was the temple. Literally, there was a place in the temple called the holy place where people met with God. And there was this place called the Holy of Holies. Only God was allowed there, and the high priest once a year. It was set apart for meeting with God. That makes sense then, doesn't it? So we're to praise God in those places that are set apart for meeting with God. Sanctuaries are made for praise. Psalm 95, verse 2, let us come before his presence with our thanksgiving, with our praise, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. It is right for us to gather in this place and to cheer on the greatness of God. It is right for us to clap for the greatness of God. What a great Savior we serve. We're to praise God in private places. Now, for us in the 21st century, we've got to think, put on our thinking caps just a little bit. That might be this room. And this room, I think, should be special. I've told you this before. Like, we want to discourage kids from running around and being rowdy in here. The school kids don't get to play football or dodgeball in this room. Why? It's not because this room is a holy temple. It's because this room has a special use. It's set apart. What is it set apart for? It's set apart for God's people to gather together and to cheer on his greatness. That's what this room is for. But here's the cool thing. We have an advantage over the Jews, don't we? A big advantage. And that is that the Holy Spirit lives where? In our heart. So I can have a sacred, set apart place for worshiping God and praising him for his greatness in my easy chair, petting my dog, sipping on a coffee, in my car, anywhere I have my heart, which is anywhere, I can be in the presence of God. I am my own priest, and so I can walk into his presence at any time. The question is not, do we have the opportunity? The question is, do we extol God for his greatness in private places? I've told you before, in this room, it's so easy to be distracted with other stuff. It's possible and probably probable that there are people who come here week after week after week after week after week and never worship. We watch people who worship, but we don't extol God for his greatness. We're to do so in private places. Secondly, we're to do so in wide open places. The firmament of his power, creation. Psalm 148, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights. I don't hunt, but I know you guys that do. Many of you say, it's just such a time of worship. I'm out there in creation, I'm out there in nature, and I'm just thanking God for the beauty and the power that he has on display. So where are we to praise God? Everywhere. There's no bad place to praise God. The Lord. Number two, what are we to praise God for? Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And by the way, let's just pause really quick and just say that this is the biblical definition of praise. Here it is. Praise for what somebody has done and praise for what somebody is or who they are. This is the definition of praise. To extol enthusiastically the greatness of someone. God is great and he has done great things. And so we're to worship. We're to thank him for his blessings, what he has done, and adore him for his greatness, who he is. This is the goal of the entire series, to contemplate who God is and what he's done and to lift him up in worship. So, first of all, praise God for what he has done, his mighty acts. Let me just give you a couple of psalms, okay? You have to stay with me. I'm going to try to read some quickly. Psalms 9:1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Psalm 13, verse 6, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Psalm 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord who hath daily loaded us with benefits. Psalm 72, verse 18, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. So, Psalm 92, verse 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This just scratches the surface. There are literally hundreds of verses in the Psalms that say, praise God for what he has accomplished. Number two, we should praise him for who he is. His excellent greatness. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 99, verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Praise God for who he is and praise God for what he has done. Quickly, number 3, how to praise God. Verse 3. Notice he says to praise God with music. He lists the trumpet, the psaltery, the harp, the strings, the organs, the cymbals. This is all throughout the Psalms. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Psalm 33, verse 2, praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. Psalm 40 and verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 43, verse 4, then will I go up to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. This is a New Testament concept as well, right? You remember in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19, it says when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will do what? Speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just say just really quickly on a practical level, this is not meant to be a rebuke, but if you have trouble singing when we worship together, it may be that you do not have the Holy Spirit in control. That's what this verse says. When the Holy Spirit's in control, you sing. In Colossians, there's a similar passage that says when the word of Christ dwells in you richly, you sing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What happens when you do this? You will sing hymns and spiritual songs with grace in your heart to the Lord. You might say, I'm just not a singer. Well, remember what Scripture says, make a joyful what? Make a noise. Okay, we'll forgive you if you're not a very good singer. What there should be is a joyful noise. I told a couple of our little boys after the Christmas program that were standing here singing their hearts out about Emmanuel, God with us. I appreciate young men particularly who are not afraid to stand on this platform and make a joyful noise. It should be cheered on. It should be cheered on in our kids sitting next to us. It should be cheered on in the people sitting around us like, yes, God is that great. Make that joyful noise. Jeremy should never have to say to us, come on, people, that was lame. You should sing. Don't you remember who we're praising? I mean, Jeremy should never have to do that, and he doesn't. But we should be bringing a joyful noise every single time. Praise God with music. Number 2, praise God with action. He says in this verse, we should use the timbrel and the dance. Psalm 30, verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Psalm 149, verse 3, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise unto him with the timbrel and the harp. You might remember the story in Exodus chapter 15 when Miriam, the sister of Moses, got excited about God. Her and several of the women grabbed timbrels and all went out dancing and saying, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. This is the attitude that we should have when we come together for musical worship. Can I just say just a little parentheses here real quick? So dancing has been a topic of controversy for the church for centuries, right? And I think we could all agree on something. Hang with me for a second. I think we could all agree that erotic or romantic dancing with someone you are not married to is unhealthy and potentially sinful. Can I at least get a nod of the head if you're with me? Okay. But responding physically to God's greatness is actually biblical. So do not, church, do not say, hey, I don't believe in dancing. So that means that I'm going to stand like a statue when we sing. That's unbiblical. There is a sweet spot in the middle, and that is to say this. I won't do anything that violates the word of God. I'm going to keep my body pure. I'm going to keep my mind pure. I'm going to keep my reputation pure. And so I understand the place for dancing. But on the other side of the coin, when somebody gets excited in worship, I'm going to cheer them on. I mean, frankly, some of you still have a problem with people in this room who will just raise a hand and worship. Shame on you. They're responding biblically. Because they think God is great. Do you think God is great? Raise your hand if you do. Look at you people. There's nothing wrong with that, right? A couple people in our choir sometimes get a little bit happy, right? And some of you can't even listen to the words of the song. You're like, they are dancing on our platform. Yeah, because God is great. Say that with me. God is what?
Great.
He's great. And if that starts to matter to you enough, then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, you know what? Praise God. If your response is physical, it is actually biblical. Now, let me just also say that it's really easy for that to get out of control and to be a distraction. Okay? If you start running the aisles, we're going to stop you. Okay? Because that's dangerous and distracting. But if your true worship, your true focus on God has you responding physically, there's some songs that we sing that talk about God giving us something like grace. I think it's right for us to put your hands out and say, Lord, give me that grace. I need it. Amen. Right? Or that healing. Or that forgiveness. I need that today. Right? And then other songs we sing talk about Jesus. I mean, what would you do if we were standing before the cross and Jesus was giving his last breath and he looked at you and said, I love you enough to die for you. Thank you, Lord. Right? And yet we get so used to stodginess and tiredness, and the exception today, staying up really late. Okay, I know most of you stayed up late last night, but and we just come in here and we're just kind of rather than ready to respond physically to the greatness of our God. Notice lastly, who should praise God? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Notice number one, all creation should praise God. Everything that breathes. By the way, this should be our desire. Remember in Philippians chapter 2 that God has exalted Jesus, and at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess in heaven and in earth and things under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You want to talk about hands raised? Some of you probably are going to feel very out of place. It's going to be a great big worship fest when Jesus, his name, before all of creation is elevated by God the Father, and every knee bows and every tongue confesses that he is Lord. This is to be done by all creatures. Again, this is all throughout the Psalm, Psalm 66, verse 8. Oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All creation should praise God. But secondly, you should praise God. Praise ye the Lord. Remember Romans chapter 1. Reprobate minds see God, but don't worship him. The psalmist sees God and says he is worthy of worship. I need to extol him. I need to praise him. Psalm 103, verse 22, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. You should praise the Lord. But let me just remind you before we, as we close today, this is a New Testament concept, right? We talked about Philippians chapter 2. Let me remind you of Revelation chapter 7. Same basic time frame, a little bit different angle. Here's Revelation chapter 7. And after this, John says, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and all kindreds and all peoples and all tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. He's so worthy of worship, they can't even think of enough words to extol him for his greatness. This is our future. For believers, this is our future, but this is also our present. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Us. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth his praises. Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. This is the 21st century believer's command. We're to praise God continually. Do you remember in Luke chapter 19 when Jesus rode into town on the donkey? And everybody was saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. What they're basically saying is, he's the Messiah. Worship him. He's the Messiah. And the Jews understood, as we do, that Messiah was God in the flesh. So the religious leaders say to Jesus, hey, hold on a second. You need to tell these people to stop it. They're calling you God. Remember the story? And Jesus said, if they don't praise me, the rocks will. Creation is about to burst out with praise for its creator. Creation knows exactly who I am. If they don't praise me, the rocks will. So this is what we want to do as a church in 2023. We don't want to give the rocks a chance. Right? We want enough praise happening in here and as we leave and throughout this building and throughout our homes and throughout our workplaces and in our cars, that there's enough praise happening that God says, look, rocks, you guys can just take a chill pill. You don't have to praise. My people are doing enough. My people are extolling me enough. Psalm 113, verse 1, listen to these words. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. At First Baptist Church of Wixom and throughout all of creation. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for reminding us of your worthiness today. We love you. We're so grateful to call you our Father. We're so grateful to know Jesus as our Savior. Please help us to lift him up and worship him appropriately this year. We pray in his name. Amen.
I think it's totally fitting that we close today's service emphasizing praising God for who he is by singing out this anthem, Behold Our God. Let's stand together.
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? "Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life." Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.